Giles Online.
Hello friends, welcome to St. Giles Online once again. It's great to have your company. Grab yourself a brew or a glass of cranberry juice and let's have another wonderful time of fellowship. Enjoy the service.
Good morning, welcome to St. Giles. I'm Leon, the vicar here, and it's fantastic to have you with us today. And we've got Hannah and her band leading us in worship today. And just before she starts, a little top tip from me. I know we've got several people who've only recently started watching us online. If you haven't found them already, you'll find all the words for the songs in the worship lyrics tab that should be on the bottom of the screen somewhere. So little tip. If you want to follow along with the words, want to sing along at home, or just read and pray as the band are leading us, why don't you get the words on your phone and then watch on your iPad or your laptop? That's what several of us do, and we find that a really helpful way of joining in the worship. Right, enough from me. Let's hand over to Hannah.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to have you worshipping with us, even though we can't see you. Just going to read two verses from Psalm 59, verse 16 and 17. Been thinking about choosing to worship, that we actively need to choose to worship. And I don't know how you're feeling coming into worship this morning, whether you're feeling like it or you're not feeling like it. But the psalmist says in verse 16 and 17, "But I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. O my strength, I sing praise to you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God." So let's choose to worship this morning. And my prayer is this morning that you'd just be really encouraged through the worship.
Yeah.
crashing down, I lift my praises high. Till the darkness turns to dawn, I lift my praises. I choose to worship, I choose you now. When the enemy says I'm done, I lift my praises. When the world comes crashing down, I lift my praises high. When the darkness turns to dawn, I lift my praises. I choose to worship, I choose you now. When the enemy says I'm done, I lift my praises. When the world comes crashing down, I lift my praises high. Till the darkness turns to dawn, I lift my praises. I choose to worship, I choose you now. When the enemy
continuing our series at looking at different psalms in the Bible, and today we're looking at Psalm 34. I'm going to read it for us now, and then after this, Peter Watkins, who's a member here at St. Giles, he worships with us with his wife Wendy. He's going to explain it to us. If you don't know him, Peter's a retired vicar, and he's been with us for a few years now. He helps out at St. Giles and some other churches too. Okay, Psalm 34. I'll extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glorify in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I've got an apology to make. I haven't got a fluffy hen. I don't even have a fluffy griller. All I have got is my grandson's fluffy monkey. And that has got absolutely nothing to do with Psalm 34. I'm getting the hang of this shopping online business. It's taken a few months, but needs must. But one of the things I noticed is that my inbox fills up with customer satisfaction surveys. How did we do? Rate us out of 10. Write a rave review. And I started filling some of these in, but then I decided my life was too short and I just delete them now. Unless, of course, I've got something really to complain about. Well, Psalm 34, David starts off with a rave review about God and what he's done. It reads a bit like that, doesn't it? Those first seven verses. He talks about what God has done for him and how brilliant God is. Look at verses 1 and 2. I will extol him. I will praise him. I will boast of what he has done. And then he says, if you're having problems, join in with the praise. Let's glorify, he says. Let's praise God together. Well, it's not easy during lockdown, is it, to praise God together? We did hear in the interview last week that worship music played at home does help us and we can join in and lift our spirit, but it's not the same as being together as God's family in church, worshipping together, praising God together and feeling his spirit come down upon us. But we'll get there, I know. So why is God being praised in such terms? Why is David so happy? He talks about God delivering him. What's he delivered him from? Well, the setting is this. David is hiding in a cave. He has fled from Saul with the help of Jonathan. Saul has tried to kill him because Saul got jealous because everybody was shouting, what a great guy David is. So he leaves Saul and he goes off to the kingdom of Gath, which are natural enemies of the Israelites. And he tries to find refuge there and be anonymous. But some of the king's servants recognise him and go to the king and said, there's this bloke who killed Goliath. And the king says, all right, let's have a look at him, bring him in. So he comes before the king and then he realises that he's in danger. So he employs the old Blackadder the Fourth trick. No, he doesn't put a pair of underpants on his head and stick pencils up his nose, but he does feign to be mad. He dribbles and drawls and shouts. And the king looks at him and says, this bloke's no threat. Get rid of him. I've got enough man men round here without one more. And so he legs it. And he goes off and hides in a cave. David escapes, but he thanks God for his deliverance. He doesn't say, how clever am I to be able to do this? What a resourceful chap I am. No, it's all about God. He gives God the glory. And he reminds us in this psalm that when we look to God, several things happen. First of all, God answered him. In verse 4, he writes this, I sought the Lord and he answered me. I sought the Lord. Perhaps there's a clue for us there when we despair about God not hearing us. And I know the sermon last week was very helpful on this subject. But we're encouraged to seek God, not just to sit around and wait for God to turn up, but to actively seek him. and to find out what he wants, his will for our lives, and what the answer is for our lives. Next, he says, God delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. He didn't say he delivered me from the situation I found myself in. No, he delivered me from all my fears. There's an old saying, it's the Green's Law of Rugby, that the opposition appear to be actually twice the size that they actually are. And our fears can cripple us, can't they? And in this time, there is so much to be fearful of. Will I lose my job? How can I pay the mortgage? Will I get ill? Will my family suffer? What happens if I die? Fears crowd in around us, don't they? 1 Peter 5:7 says this. It says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Next, David says, we take on his likeness. He says, those who look to him are radiant. Now, I'm sure you've come across people who have that glow about them. You just know that they are people of God by the way they look, the way they act, the way they speak. We're reminded of Moses coming down the mountain, that the people couldn't look at his face because it shone, because he'd been in the presence of God. We take on the likeness of God the closer we get to him. Next, he says, shame is taken away. Their faces are never covered with shame. It's not a word that we hear very often at the moment, is it, in our society, shame? But we all have things that we're ashamed of. And David reminds us that when we come to God and ask for forgiveness, that shame and that guilt is taken away. And now fifthly, he said, we're going to have our own guardian angel. He says, angels are camp around us and deliver us and look after us. Trust me, God's going to look after me, God says, David says. And again, last week's sermon helped us to understand that. Now, David has been talking about his own experience here. He's experienced God's love. He's been anointed as king, filled with God's Spirit. And he knows God's protection and God's presence with his life. But now he invites others to share in that. There's an old advert some of you may remember. It was a Guinness advert, I think. It says, I don't like it because I've never had it. Now, I like not trying new foods and a bit more adventurous than when I was a child. I expect some of you, like me, were brought up with roast on Sunday, cold on Monday, mince on Tuesday, sausages on Wednesday, chops on Thursday, fish on Friday, and fry up on Saturday, and perhaps liver and onions and stew thrown in there occasionally as well. And that was it. The biggest excitement came at Christmas, perhaps when we got a box of chocolates and we had to choose from the legend inside. And my siblings and I would always, not fight, but disagree, because nobody likes the strawberry creams. I don't know why they put them in there. Anyway, tasting is good. You must have seen that wayside pulpit outside Baptist chapels. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's verse 8 of Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Our televisions are full of cooking programmes, aren't they? MasterChef, Bake Off, Saturday Morning Live. And they make some wonderful creations. And you sit there and you're drooling and you think, that looks nice. I could certainly use that at the moment. But we're admiring from afar. We're not actually there with our knife and fork cramming it into our mouths, are we? And we need to be there to taste it. taste and see that the Lord is good. Seeing and tasting are two different things. And David invites others to share in his experience of God. Taste and see, he says. Peter in Hebrews writes, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. David knows that the love and goodness of God is not, and is not ashamed to tell others. He wants to tell others. He invites others to share in this feast. How do we share in this feast? How do we taste and see that the Lord is good, that God is good? Well, again, he gives us some clues in this psalm. He says, repent and pursue peace. Turn from evil and do good, and seek peace and pursue it. So we need to turn around from our way of doing things, look to God and do it his way. And that is the way of peace, not the way of conflict, not the way of anger, but the way of peace, the way of love. Secondly, he says, we need to know that we are redeemed, bought back with a price. God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not die, but have everlasting life. I know you all know that verse, but it is the truth, isn't it? It's such a comfort. Accept the love of God. The Lord redeems his servants, David says. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Some wonderful words there. And the invitation is the same today. Have you tasted the love and goodness of God? Have you turned and come to him? Have you tasted just how good God is? David, it often seems, is in the depths of despair. Yet he never gives up on God because he knows that God is never going to give up on him. He's been anointed and filled with God's Holy Spirit. And whatever his situation, whether his sin, whatever his shame, he knows he is redeemed and forgiven. And as a result, he can't help but praise God. As the old hymn says in Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his praise could sing? Taste and see that the Lord is good, and then give him a 5-star review. Amen.
Thank you, Peter. Band are going to lead us in a more reflective time of worship now. This will be an extended time of worship. There's plenty of time to think and to pray and to reflect on Peter's words. And if you'd like someone to pray with you as we have this time, then our prayer ministry team are available. Just hit the prayer button, and one of those will come up in a private chat with you and tell them what you'd like prayer for, and they'll gladly pray for you as we worship together.
Be afraid, you are here. his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and your children and your children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the interview part of the Vidcast. I'm Emma Rez, and as you know, we always speak to a lovely member of our congregation. And this week, I'm delighted to welcome the lovely Catherine Elliott. Hello.
Hi, Emma. Hi, everyone.
Hello. I've finally got you on. I've twisted your arm. It's taken me 7 months, but she's on. It's nice to have you on. How are you, Catherine?
Well, actually, all things considered, Emma, I'm really good. I mean, obviously, this has not been the year we thought we were going to have, but I do just constantly reflect and go, I'm really okay. And me and my husband, Tom, both consider ourselves extremely fortunate through all of this. We're blessed with both being able to continue working. We're in good health. All our family are in good health. So all of that is great. It has been quite a change. So somewhere back in mid-March, I think, both our firms went, right, time to start working from home. That week was great. The first week we were working from home, the lovely Matt Keown was booked to come and decorate. And I had to send him a message and go, Matt, we're going to be tripping over each other. But he was like, we'll work it out. And we absolutely did. Home is now where we work as well. But I, again, like I say, we're really fortunate. we've been able to just pick up our laptops, bring them home. So I work for a company called IdeaGen. We sell quality risk and audit software, thrilling. But we're very well set up for this. And I manage a small team of customer success agents. And they've all just been brilliant and embraced working from home, doing everything on Teams. But equally, we're very used to it. We're a global firm, so we're used to working in that way. My manager is in Scotland, so I never generally sit in an office with him anyway. So we're used to communicating like this. And we've been busy. My work has changed quite a lot because I've been supporting a lot of our customers who are impacted by COVID, both financially and in terms of what they do operationally. So we have a lot of aviation customers, for example. So I've been spending a lot of time working with those kind of customers, trying to help them figure out the problems, how we can help them, support with contractual issues and things like that. So it's been different, but actually it's been okay. Like I say, we're very lucky that we're both in jobs and can work from home, and it works okay, and we're keeping our spirits up, and so are all our colleagues while we're doing it. So generally, not too bad.
Ticking the Elliott household. And what about your faith? How are you finding it? Because it's been a while now. Obviously, you know, we're used to seeing each other at church and in small group and home group and things like that. You and I are in a very small group, a little trio together. But it's how have you found connecting with your faith over, blimey, the last 7 months or so?
I know, such a long time. And lots of people have come on this and have said how challenging it's been. And absolutely, you know, it is challenging. But I was reflecting and thinking, actually, it's good to be challenged in our faith and to have those opportunities to be challenged and get out of the comfort zone a little bit. And I would say for me, the biggest challenge in a way has been what I would describe as solitude. And obviously I'm not in solitude, I've got lots of people around me, but I think experiencing and living your faith when you aren't physically in a lot of regular contact with other Christians, I find that really hard. And I find it much harder to grow and develop my faith by myself. I'm not very good at going and finding that good quiet time, connecting with God, and actually growing in that respect. It's really made me realise how much I need other people to support me in that, to ask me difficult questions, for me to have those difficult, meaty conversations with them as well, to pray together. And I think that's the thing that's been hard for me. But it's been a really good learning in that respect. I mean, I've certainly learned I would not be good on a silent retreat. That would not be good for me. And I need to be with other people. But equally, again, I'm so lucky. I've got people like you and so many others around where you can and I am sharing faith and faith life just in a very different way. So it's been a learning experience in that respect. And obviously can't wait for the time when we can all be back together. But I know I've got to keep on with that learning because it's going to be quite a while still, probably, till we're back where we were this time last year.
I think exactly, you know, what you're saying is exactly how a lot of people are feeling as well. So it's lovely. Thank you for your honesty and thank you for coming on. It's so lovely to finally have you on. Catherine Elliott, thank you.
Thanks, Emma.
Thanks, Emma. Thanks, Catherine. Just a couple of notices from me. We do have another service today that's going to be in church. That'll be at 8 o'clock this evening. That's going to be a very reflective, quiet service. We won't have any worship bands or music. It will just be a said service, similar to evening prayer or compline. Lots of space and time just to be in the church. So if you'd like a more quiet, meditative service, quite end to the day, time to stop and reflect with everything else going on, do come and join me this evening. As I said, that's 8 o'clock here at St. Giles. That'll last about half an hour, I think. If you'd like to come along, just sign up in the usual way. And also to say that we're not going to have junior church this morning. We're having a week off this week. But we do have sunbeams happening online. That'll be at 3 o'clock, and that'll be streamed on our Facebook page. So 3 o'clock on our Facebook page, Sam and Kirsty are going to lead us in a Sunbeam session. That's for our really, really little ones. And great fun to join along as a family if you want to do that. So that's 4 o'clock on Facebook. Okay, the band are going to lead us in our final song, and then we'll have the blessing together. God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, guard and save you, and bring you at the last to his heavenly city, where he rules and reigns forever. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.